votre genre, à Dieu disons merci. Chantons Noël pour le roi nouvelet, chantons Noël.
C, C is for...
Cauliflower.
Confusion. Creation.
Pickle. K for
kitten.
Camp.
See, wait. Sandroof. See, you unbearable.
U is for underground.
Oh, yeah.
Umbrella.
T. Trite.
Tremendous.
Torment.
Tire.
C. K.
I can't think of a U one.
T. T.
F is for famous.
Fun. Fumble. M is for Montreal.
Hey everybody, Derek Sagan here. So we won't be hosting our families for the holidays this year, but let's look on the bright side. Got an aunt with some zany theories? Just mute her on the family video calls. A hippie cousin that bring new wave sludge to Réveillon? Not this year. To protect your family's health and safety, it's important you stay home and enjoy the peace and quiet.
Put your pants on, time to shovel the driveway.
Right away, hon. Safe holidays. Let's keep our spirits up.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Hi, I'm David Suzuki, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Information to grow the brain.
And welcome to CKUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to John Abbott on the Air. My name is Nicholas Vink, and today I will be discussing with Lucas Highgate, the founder of Trash Talk Montreal, a local nonprofit organization that focuses on environmental activism as well as organizing trash cleanup events around the island of Montreal. Tune in with us to learn a bit more about the devastating effects of littering trash in your natural environment around you, as well as why it's very important to clean up trash wherever you go. As my concern for the state of our environment has grown bigger and bigger over the last few years, I have decided to join your nonprofit organization called Trash Talk last summer, Lucas, because I myself wanted to take a stand against littering and the excessive amount of garbage that is found within local ecosystems near our communities, such as forests, parks, you name it. And not only to take a stand myself, but to be able to show and educate others about the importance of taking a stand yourself, tackling the problem at the root cause, which is, in fact, individual humans throwing trash away because they're either too lazy or could not care less about throwing it in proper areas, such as recyclings or garbages. Now, I myself feel like it is very important that in order to educate people, you have to be able to talk from personal experience. You have to be part of the solution to be able to incite others to be able to do the same. You have basically shown this to me by doing it yourself, right? You started this project, and because I saw that you were taking a stand, I decided that it was my time as well to take a stand. So, would you agree with the fact that it takes another person to be able to inspire another person to do the same thing when it comes to the environment?
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with all of that. And yeah, it really makes a lot of sense that, like, going out and just helping to like take some things that will aid in the mitigation of the entirety of climate change is certainly a worthwhile cause. How come, like what specifically got you interested in climate change?
My interest for climate change, and not only my interest, but the growing realization that it was slowly but surely becoming an even greater problem, was actually when I was a very young kid, about aged 5 or 6. And it was actually my father who taught me the importance of climate change, and more importantly, the importance of littering, or rather, the importance of not littering. Because every time we would go walk in a park, our favorite parks or our favorite forest trails, we would inevitably find a small piece of plastic, a discarded glass bottle, a discarded wrapper, you name it. There was a bit of everything, even back then, over 15 years ago. And that really got me thinking from a very young age to always care about nature around me. And more directly, what inspired me to take a direct stand against littering about a year and a half ago was you, Lucas, because you started this environmental nonprofit organization that focuses on cleaning up areas that have been littered to the point where it's almost impossible for nature around it to be able to collaborate with this pile of garbage that sits within it. And ever since taking part in this project, I can only hope that I myself have taken a proper stand against the environment, and that what I've been doing has actually been making a difference, because I sincerely hope that it has.
Confident that you absolutely have been a better part of this kind of solution. And I mean, concern with living in a world that does not address climate change, for me, like personally, I find that it's a little bit hypocritical of a lot of the world to dismiss so much of it. But beyond hypocrisy, you find something that is just almost behavioral, and the fact that once we get exposed to an issue too many times, it just kind of comes another part of the world that we live in a way that maybe isn't natural. Like for me with trash talk, I remember there was just one or two days when I was looking up at the streets around springtime, and it was absolutely filthy. And that really kind of drove the point home that we need our citizens and our communities to be actionable, and we need them to step up and really make a big difference in what we're doing in our communities' environments. And because those are the deciding factors between whether or not a community is going to be a dirtier place or a cleaner place. Like these kind of community initiatives, Trash Talk included, Great Shoreline Cleanup included, and so many other climate change and like just citizen advocacy groups included, these are really the types of places that make their own communities thrive in a way that goes much beyond just climate change. So it's important.
I think you're absolutely right in saying that, Lucas. It goes even more to show that this fact when you think about that recently there was a huge scientific call to action where a couple thousand scientists were asked the same question. Is climate change a man-made problem? And the approval of this question was overwhelming. Over 97% of all scientists involved said that yes, it is a man-made problem. So when you think about this, I myself think that it is very important that since it is our fault, we need to be held actionable for this, and it is up to us to be able to not only take part in combating this problem, but to also find the solutions for it. I mean, it's only fair to say that when you think about the fact that scientific minds out there, a huge portion of the scientific minds agree on the fact that it is our problem, we caused this problem. Therefore, it is only fair to assume that it should be us to resolve it.
Yeah, and not only not only this, like, people have to understand, it's very important to understand what a scientific consensus really means. First off, obviously, it means that scientists are saying, hey, this is an issue, and they're banding together and saying that this is an issue. But beyond that, this is a call to arms. Like, the work isn't over when the research is over. No, the research is what actually leads to the behavior change and the growth of a community and all of, like, the issues that this research is talking about. So when the scientific community says it has reached a consensus about climate change, like, to me, all that is a battle cry, a cry to arms.
It really is, because at this point, there really is no confusion left, you know? Like, this is one of the first, if not the first, huge scientific consensus that we've had that entirely proves that climate change is, in fact, a man-made problem. And, you know, for a scientific consensus, it's a huge process. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of great minds forming together and converging into one question. And it, most importantly, takes a lot of peer review. You know, this information has been through thick and thin when it comes to verification and approval, and it finally has been approved. So I don't think there's any room left for skepticism when it comes to the question that, is it really us that caused climate change? Because it really is, you know, like, any skeptical out there that is still doubting the fact that it is our problem is at this point just really uneducated, which is fine. You know, you have to educate yourself in order to know about this problem, or they're simply just in complete denial of the issue at hand.
I mean, on that personally, like, I hear that a lot in terms of as a way of describing, like, attitudes around climate change with climate skepticism and all of that. Yeah. And I think what the more important thing to realize about climate skepticism is what it essentially boils down to is, A, it's people who are not, like, part of it is people who don't want to accept that this could be reality, and they're trying to find ways to poke hole in this. But B, and honestly, most importantly, this is the most important part of climate change denialism, is the effects that it has on other large social institutions and the problems that it will cause for those large social institutions. Like, for example, a lot of climate denialists have quite accurately said that enabling climate change, like, policies to actually be passed in sort of house and sort of in common would negatively, and, like, it would affect the economy and the systems that are in place in a way that they have not been affected before that could possibly be negative. And that's a big part of why climate denialism is such a big big thing. It's because it's not really about the climate skepticism or denialism as much as it is an admittance that this is genuinely going to change the way that I or whoever as a climate denialist would kind of live their life. And it's really an important part of the equation that I feel like a lot of regular climate change oriented people forget to touch upon, but it's a very important part in the minds of most Americans and Canadians.
Huh, that's actually a very good way to look at it. I never really thought of it that way, so thank you. But I can sort of understand it in some way. Like, I've never been a climate denialist, so to say. Like, I very much always knew that climate change was a quantifiable thing that's happening around us. But I was a denier more in the sense that I didn't believe that I was personally part of the problem, me, myself. And, you know, of course I've littered. Everyone has littered consciously or unconsciously in their lives. That's just inevitable. But even as I've gotten better over the years at that, to the point of completely removing the litter aspect of my life, I thought that that was the only part I could play in to just better myself. But I actually realized that the problem isn't that people are littering. Well, of course it is, but that's not the only problem. The other problem is that people aren't taking action. It's very important as an individual to do your percentage of the work, as should everyone else, in order to be able to make this problem viable to solutions. You know, that there is a solution, and that solution is everyone doing their part individually as a whole.
Feel like the nice thing about taking action is, in general, is if you do have some reason where you're not as good for the environment, on the bright side and at the absolute minimum, you have a good excuse.
Oh, 100% right, like for sure. But one of the reasons why I actually decided to take to do myself a call to action to get more involved with the issue is when I realized that in certain places, the effects of climate change that can be seen are very, very devastating. You know, when you look at places like California in the United States and in Africa, where desertification is completely rampaging through entire areas of either the country, the state. And, you know, it's really sad to see that entire green areas are subjected to turning into dry and, at its very core, dead pieces of land.
The problem with desertification as well is that, like, these deserts don't magically turn back into trees. No, it's desert stays desert.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's happening right now in, like I said, California. And in my science to climate change course with Jessica Burpee, we actually just listened to a documentary about the effect that desertification has on farmers. When desertification started getting more and more critical to the well-being of crops about 5-6 years ago until now, over the years, farmers have had to dig almost 4 times as deep of holes as they normally would in order to access water, because the water was just simply getting drier and drier at the surface levels, and it became only accessible at much deeper levels. And by digging 4 times deeper, they actually spent about 4 to 5 times more than they actually would when it came to digging these original holes that were about 100 meters deep. And now, well, these holes are about 500 to 600 meters deep, and it's put many, many farmers near a bankrupt state where they had no choice but to just leave their farm, perhaps sell it to someone else, or just leave it to be consumed by the wild.
That's really tough. I hope they find some better type of solution around that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously the best solution would just be to mitigate the effects of climate change, but, you know.
yeah, me too. But there is a very, very small silver lining to this whole thing. And it's that in California, where the problem has really hit, you know, where the effects of climate change are impossible to ignore, it actually has caused a lot of legislature to pass regarding things like the carbon tax and things like banning plastic bottles from a certain date. I believe they're going to ban them very close to 2030, which is a silver lining in some sort. You know, it had to happen, but it sucks that it only had to happen when the problem got really, really bad. And that sort of ties in with the type of world that I want to live in the future. You know, the type of world where politicians and entire countries and states get behind this problem, and more importantly, acknowledge that this problem exists, to the point where, you know, of course, us as individuals, you know, let's say regular working members of society, we can only do so much, right? Sure, we can pick up trash, we can educate others, but it will never truly amount to the sheer weight of the power that politicians and national organizations have in terms of influencing change within entire countries and provinces and continents. That's really what I'd like to see in the future. Just a world where the higher powers of this world, like governments, agree that climate change is a very real problem and that it needs to be tackled before the effects are irreversible.
Yeah, I definitely agree, at least in terms of like that kind of a world. It's surely important, but I mean, for me, at least in the something in the future that maybe we could look towards as actually being some sort of a possibility. And it kind of ties into the idea of more legislator, but it goes a little bit beyond that, because it's not really just about the legislature passed. I mean, that's step one, really. All the legislator does is enable people to start building this better future in a bigger way. What I think would really help in a much larger sense of fashion would just be a big push towards progressive policies in general. And that's all across the board. If people find out that they're suddenly the issue that they they're having a problem with has been helped by progressive policies and progressive politics, like, for example, for a climate change denier who's maybe also very angry at the government for taking all his taxes all the time or something like that, if there were some progressive policies that would pass that would give this guy some more money and a better chance to kind of grow in society, then he would probably be a lot more willing to pass legislator to actually allow climate change scientists and climate change policies to really pass in a much bigger way. But just having a more generally well-educated, well-rounded, and hostilic society, we can really grow towards a type of, well, a future that we would all want to live in, and that includes anyone who doesn't like it.
That's really interesting. So you also believe and are of the opinion of that the governments of this world are a major stakeholder in this issue, and that they also have a lot of power, if not the most power, in enabling the solution to climate change.
Government is, the way that I see the government is almost like a puppet master, kind of playing around and toying with certain little areas of all the little other systems that goes on underneath it. So, example, if you just kind of pull the right strings and you look at the right kind of plate, you put pressure in just some of the right points, like, yeah, more government would really make a big difference in that. And it's honestly, a good government is there to protect and empower its citizens. And in a progressive world, our government would be pushing to be as protective and empowering as possible. And that empowerment of the regular civilian is going to lead to a lot of progressive policies, including those involving climate change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I also agree that a government acts some sort of way as a puppet master to different members of our society, and that they should be taking bigger action when it comes to this. But in the past, let's say 3 to 4 years, I've seen our government and governments around the world generally improve in that area, especially governmental educational resources when it comes to, you know, what are the different aspects in our life that contribute to climate change, like what are the activities that emit the most CO2, the most fossil fuels, such as driving around, the entire meat industry. And I feel like in the past 5 years we've gone in a pretty good place when it comes to governments becoming more and more inclined to recognizing the importance to educate people on this issue. And even growing forward, I feel like that's an important thing to already have, but it's going to become even more of an important thing to have and an even bigger priority.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with that. It's definitely nice to have that in general be important. I would agree 100%.
And what would you say has changed in your life the most since starting Trash Talk? Like, let's say, what are the methods or the improvements that you've taken in your life in order to be more ecologically responsible?
Well, I mean, for me, it's always been less of a, I don't see it as much of a reduction issue as much as I see it as a consciousness issue.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
It's super easy to opt into it. Like, it's like sitting at your TV and watching 4 movies in a day. For some of these things, and especially like eating meat and other of our comfort habits that we have, driving and such, it's important that, like, look, we can't avoid some of these, and certainly not all of the blame is to go solely upon like, for example, like meat's effect on the climate industry. It's definitely a huge effect, but we can't forget that the real enemy here is not actually the eating of meat or the keeping of livestock, but globalization of itself. The fact that we have to transport all of this meat all across the world in so many different ways, that's much more damaging to an ecosystem than actual just eating meat. And the same thing goes for for vegetables. Like, globalization of vegetables and shipping vegetables all across the world actually just drives the cost of climate change up by quite a bit. And really, it's about being conscious of that A, these issues exist, and that B, you could do something about it. But not only that, knowing what to actually do. Just because if you go vegetarian just for the climate, that's really something that I can definitely respect. But it's really, it's absolutely not the full answer. There is a lot more that needs to be kind of taken into account. Like, for example, if I wanted to be a good citizen when it came towards my meat eating intake, I would shop locally. I would go for local places that, like, locally slaughtered cows and eat those instead of eating meat that got shipped in from Peru. The reason for that is because then the cost actually of the environmental damage of eating that versus another thing is, it's mitigated. It's much lower. And the same thing goes for a lot of other solution. And I feel like that gets a lot of people confused. There's a lot of confusion behind the amount that we as humans actually do on the environment. And that's why consciousness is really what counts. Like, it's not just about reduction. It's about knowing exactly why I'm reducing in a much larger sense than just for the environment. No, I'm doing this because this does this and this affects the environment.
I love it. That's quite a beautiful approach that you have taken to solving this problem in your life, because by doing this, you're becoming more and more of a global citizen. You know, someone who recognizes that his actions have an impact on everything else around him, and also being someone that understands that you need to take actions for not only yourself, but the entirety of the world. And I think that is quite a beautiful thing that you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us, Lucas. And I hope to be able to interview you like this again someday. This has been Nicholas Vank and Lucas Highgate on CKUT 90.3 FM, John Abbott on the air, discussing about the importance of taking action when it comes to saving our environment. Thank you and have a great week.
CKUT
Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
CKUT. 90.3. Samedi midi. Happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. Joyeux anniversaire. Happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. Happy birthday to you, first anniversaire, something busy is there.